Appreciate your prayers and your attention for a little while. I never know exactly what the Lord's going to do and how He's going to do it. But I'm always open to what the Lord wants. I kind of wrestled with the idea of maybe having a little Bible study this afternoon. But we're here, and the Lord's here. And I'd like for us to try to get something out of His Word. Feel that He's laid upon our hearts. Actually, the little message that I preached this morning, I thought was going to be for this afternoon. So you've already had that. So I guess you'll get the morning message this afternoon. Lord knows better how to do these things than I do. I always want to be submissive to His will. This is a little different than the morning message. Nevertheless, it's the Word of God. I'd like to talk about, for a little bit, God's divine influence or judgments upon mankind. There's many different, I guess I could say it this way, God is multifaceted. He's a God of love, God of mercy. We like to talk about and think about the good things, but God is a God of His Word. And there's an awful lot in His Word about what we're going to just touch the surface a little bit this afternoon. God created man. He had a plan for us. And the plan was for us to live and walk in righteousness. He said to be holy because He's holy. That was His plan. And it didn't take very long for man to get outside of that plan. So there's plenty in the Word of God to tell us how God feels about that when man gets outside of His plan. I'd like to look at just a few scriptures this afternoon. Remember me telling you a while back how the Lord had been waking us up in the middle of the night, troubling our spirits and talking to us? Well, you ain't heard nothing yet. But I have to share with you what the Lord has shared with me and laid on my heart. You won't hear it all today either. So you pray that the Lord will bless and help us to get an understanding. I believe everyone I'm talking to this afternoon is saved and living for the Lord. So I'm not trying to unsave anybody. But I just want us to see how God views man when man turns away from God. And man has turned away from God. I think we can all agree with that. And as the world goes, a lot of times so goes the church. The church, the Lord says to me, is in a lot of distress today. I appreciate those that are living faithful, those that are growing and spiritually and getting closer to the Lord. I appreciate that. But the fact of the matter remains, folks, not everybody's doing it. God has something to say to all of us. I'd like to look in the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. See, the Lord's been dealing with fallen man for many years. And He's said a lot of things to us, to man. And He's given us a lot of Himself and how He sees and feels about things. This is called Moses' Song. I'd like to begin right here in the first verse of Deuteronomy, 32nd chapter. He said, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew. as the small rain upon the tender herb and the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They're a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. There was no strange God with him. He made him to ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. Butter of kine, milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. It's enough of that for right now. Moses is talking to us here. The Lord's talking to Moses. And I want to pick it up, kind of talk about some things from the sixth verse on down. Do ye thus requite the Lord, or is this how you repay the Lord? That's the question. Requite means to repay. Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Isn't he thy father that bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? And then he said, remember the days of old and consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. Remember how the Lord guided his children, his people, mankind. He had a chosen people. It was the children of Israel, wasn't it? And remember how he guided them and how he guided you and I, even in our ignorance, even beyond our comprehension to where we are today. It is amazing what God can do and will do for those that he loves. He loves all of us, you say. Yes, he does. But the Bible tells us also plainly that God is angry with the wicked every day. I believe he's still angry with the wicked every day. Another place says that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. God said it, and I believe that that's the way it is. I believe that's the way it will be. But he said here, remember the days of old and consider the years of many generations. Think about it for just a minute. How God put man in the garden. He said down in here in the 10th verse, he found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness, he led him about. Folks, that's not where God made man and put him. He didn't put man in a desert place. He put him, or a wilderness. He put him in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? He put him in a garden of lush and plenty and everything was there to supply their needs. That's where God put man. But now God is looking upon mankind in a different way today after sin got involved in it. And I think about the times. He said, remember the days of old. When God took man from the garden all the way to the days of Noah. And when God was finished with Noah and gave us a promise that he'd never destroy the earth again with water. Then he gave us Abraham, and Abraham went to Joseph, who was prepared over in Egypt. Then from Joseph, the children of Israel came over into Egypt, and they found themselves in bondage, didn't they? And then it says, the Lord sent Moses. He brought him before a bush that was burning yet not consumed. Remember when I did all these things, he's saying. And how that he called Moses and he sent him to be a deliverer to his people and to bring them out of bondage. And then he went from Moses and out of bondage to the promised land, to Joshua and to Gideon, the judges. When Moses had died and Joshua had died and they didn't have a leader, they didn't remember the things of that generation. They didn't remember, they didn't see those things that went on in that generation. And God sent them judges to judge them, to stand in the gap for them. And then Joshua to Gideon and the judges, all the way to David, the kings. Remember the days here. The days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he'll show thee, the elders, and they will tell thee. From David, we go to the wisdom of Solomon. Do you believe in divine providence? I believe God guided all this. God directed all of this. He had men in place. He had those that he wanted to use to try to perpetuate the church, and that it would not go down and it would not be destroyed, and that it would continue to go forth. And he still does today, folks. He still does today. The wisdom of Solomon. From the wisdom of Solomon to the prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the minor prophets that we find in the Word of God. All the way down to Daniel and the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. God was in all those things, folks. He was in all of them. He also brought it down to Christ Himself, didn't He? To Christ Himself and the disciples that He called and sent forth to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we go from the disciples to the martyrs. Those that accepted the truth and embraced the truth and desired to live through the truth to the point where they were willing to give their lives for the truth. For what they believed and for what they understood. All the way down to the light of this glorious Reformation that you and I are enjoying today. All the way down to now. God's guided all man through all of that. God still has a church. He possesses unlimited and universal power and wisdom to be able to do these kind of things. When God says it is, it is. His word won't return void. There'll be consequences to the word of God. And we need to never forget that. No matter how saved we are and how long we've been saved, folks, there's consequences for disobeying God's word. It ain't going to return void. There's going to be consequences for it. Man's going to stand in that, in those consequences. God, possessing supreme authority, supreme excellence, supreme greatness, with an understanding and a capability beyond anything you and I can comprehend. That's the God that we are serving today. We say we know something about Him. We know a little bit about Him. But folks, we'll never know the depths of who God really is except we study in His Word. And we understand that God has, He knows how to deal with everything. He deals with every man justly. He deals with every situation justly. And He judges you and I according to His perfection when He meets forth His judgment. The Scripture says, out of Zion there shall come forth judgment in righteousness. It'll be righteous judgment. But I want us to consider the works that God says here. There's no limit. There's no restraint on God. God has the ability and the power to do what He will in the affairs and in the hearts of men. He has that ability. He has that authority. He reserves that authority unto Himself. He said the days of old, when the Most High divided the nation their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is His people. That's the thing that blesses the Lord, is His people. When you and I rise up and call Him blessed, when we get up in the morning, when we go to bed tonight, or when we call upon His name at any time and call Him blessed, folks, that's what He takes glory in. And knowing that He has established His righteousness of truth in the heart of men and women. That's all He wants to do. Establish that. He called Amos one time and he set a plumb line before him. He said, "What do you see?" He said, "I set a plumb line." He said, "Therefore I set a plumb line in Israel. I have a plumb line. I have a guide how man is to live. I have a guide how man is to walk. And I want you to walk that way. And when you walk contrary of it, there's consequences." There's consequences that you're going to face, because we're all going to deal with God, aren't we? There's consequences to those things. I want to consider a scripture, and I will be back to here to the 32nd chapter, Lord willing, of Deuteronomy. But I want to read a familiar scripture to us, found in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. Verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Folks, the heart is deceitful. What he is saying by that is that the bent of man's natural disposition, apart from God's redeeming grace, is to do evil. Say that again. The bent of man's natural disposition. You and I cannot live righteous. We cannot live holy. We will not do, have a desire to do holy things, because the heart is deceitful above all things. He's talking about the unregenerated heart. The heart that is apart from God's redeeming grace upon that heart, God's moving upon that heart, it's deceitful. Only a person with a redeemed heart can live in fellowship with God, can he? So that's what it's going to take. Only a person whose heart has been redeemed can live in proper fellowship with God. But God said, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins." He's searching every man today. He's searching our conscience. He's searching our intent. All things are naked and open, the Scripture says, before Him with whom we have to do. And He's searching us, the motives, the purpose, the reason why we do things, the reason why we say things. He's looking down into the heart of a man continuously. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Folks, we're everyone going to give an account, aren't we? To the fruit of our ways, to the fruit of our doings. The Lord's searching that. When we stand before Him at that day, at that great judgment day of all days, folks, I want to say that we can rest assured that our judgment will be just. He won't judge us. He will judge us accordingly to His righteousness. And we won't be able to walk away and say, "Well, you, that wasn't fair and you didn't treat me right," and all of that. God will judge us. He's judging us today. He's judging the church today. Saying, "Now, be careful about the church." Folks, I love the church. You know that. Those of you that know me know I love the church. The church is very important to me. But I'm convinced with all my heart today that even though we are the church, we need Him to govern us. We cannot count on our hearts. We can't count on our conscience. We need the Holy Spirit to govern us, to lead us and to guide us in the right way and to guide us into the truth. Folks, it is imperative that we have a heart that is fully open to God, to receive all of His counsel, to receive all of His understanding, that He can teach us His ways in a fuller manner to help us to be faithful, to live the life that He's requiring out of His people. Folks, you know, if you read the Word of God, that there were many times children of Israel fell away from God. They got in trouble for a lot of different reasons that we will probably pursue before too long. They got in trouble with God. You can get in trouble with God when you don't follow in His ways. Here's what happened. Let's go on here. I stopped after the 14th verse. I want to read the 15th verse. But Jeshurun waxed fat, and he kicked. Folks, I'm sad to say today that there's people getting a little too confident, getting a little trusting a little too much in their own abilities, getting a little lifted up, have a little pride in their hearts, thinking they're something when they're nothing. Jeshurun, he's talking about the children of Israel here. They wax fat and they begin to kick. People are wanting to kick again today against the principles of God's Word, God's truth. They want to remember the plumb line. It was established. The old paths were established all the way back in those days when the children of Israel came along and the Philistines had filled up the wells that Abraham had dug. They redug those wells and they named them by the same name that Abraham named them. It's in the Scriptures. Folks, truth doesn't change. Truth is forever. And truth only comes from one, and that's from God. We can have our ideas. We can have our intentions. But God alone, only God alone has the truth. And He's told us what the truth is. And He's calling for His people to abide by it and to be led by it and guided by it. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. And he said, Thou art waxing fat. Thou art grown thick and art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Folks, I am determined in my own walk with the Lord to spend every day begging God and asking God to never let the fear of God depart from my heart. Never let me get to thinking that I am something when I am nothing. To get exalted in any part of man, period. Because I need God. Need Him, folks. Desperate for Him. To have God. Jeshurun waxed fat. And he began to kick. Oh, we don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to live like that anymore. We can change things. We're in the modern era. This is 2016. It's not 1980. Folks, I don't care if it becomes 2016. This is the most modern book there is. And it'll stay modern. It'll stay relevant, okay? Right up till God calls His church home. It'll be relevant. But it said here, they provoked Him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they Him to anger. You know, that scripture where Paul said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Folks, we cannot afford to do any less than John the Baptist. And we need to go forth saying, He must increase, but I must decrease. Lord, help me to stay lowly and humble and dependent. I've had people say, well, God, you just use Him for a crutch. Whatever you want to call it, I need Him. Every hour, every minute of the day, I need Him, folks. And I'm dependent on it. I don't know anything. I don't know enough to support my salvation. I don't know enough to support my walk with God. I need Him to teach me. I need Him to guide me. And I don't want to get so fat, so full and lifted up of myself that I think I don't need You anymore, God. I don't need You anymore. I can handle this. I've been doing it for enough years now. I know how to do it. So I just keep right on doing it. And the next thing you know, you're doing it and doing it and doing it. And there ain't no spirit left within you. No spirit left within you. Lord, help us today, folks. I don't know what you think about all this. But I tell you what, there's no depth. It can go as deep as it needs to go to the depths of the wrath of God's, or to the depths of God's wrath. He's angry. And I believe He's angry today. I believe He sees things that maybe some of us got our head in the sand. We're not willing to look at. Maybe we don't see. Lord, I got down before the Lord here not too long ago and I said, Lord, what is it? There's another scripture that I'm dealing with that we're not going there today. And I said, Lord, what is it? What are You trying to tell me? And I tell you, the Lord began to open up to me and He began to be very plain and very explicit of what He's talking about. Things that are challenging the power of the church, the glory of the church upon His people today. I wish this place was full, not just the ones in our little congregation. But I think that we need to hear this. I do. I don't know about you, but I need to hear it. Do you know the devil is robbing man of the ability? Of the ability to see what is happening to them? They don't even understand what's happening. They just kind of fall into it. They kind of fall into it. They get set in a certain pattern. They start going in a different direction and they kind of fall into a certain pattern and the devil is robbing them of the ability to see what they are, what is happening to them. Don't realize what's happening. Evidently, that's where these folks were. But God came along in His judgment and He said, Jeshua has waxed fat. Thou art waxen fat and grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness, and he forsook God, which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, when whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that beget thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Oh, Lord. Remember when the children of Israel went into the promised land with Joshua? And God said, don't marry their daughters. Don't get involved with their idols. Don't take up the things and worship the things that they worship, because they'll turn your heart away from God. They'll turn your heart away from God. And the Bible says when you read the first three or four chapters of Judges, it said they couldn't drive out their enemies. They drove out some of them, but they didn't fully drive out the enemy. Folks, I believe this afternoon that we've got to fully drive out all the human desire to do anything that displeases God. We've got to wipe it out. Because it's going to come back to haunt us. It's going to come back to get you. You've got to get rid of it. It's got to be consumed. You got to overcome. I'm going to quickly give you a little picture of our generation today. This is where we're living today, our generation. They have to have their own way, don't they? Doesn't matter what wisdom says. Got to have my own way, regardless of the consequences. They don't want to listen to anyone. They believe that they can accomplish anything that they want to do. There's such a great lack of humility in our generation of time today. And I don't believe you can challenge me on this too much. I believe this is the truth. They want the best of everything. They're determined not to let marriage, children, friends, or family get in the way of their greedy goals and the things they want to. Isn't that true? It's true, folks. It's true. They're greedy. They're unthankful. They have no control of their passions. I think spring breaks do come up here pretty soon. Our young people in colleges just look forward to the thrills of going to the beaches where our young girls are running around half naked. And they're doing their drinking and carrying on out there on the beaches. And the next thing you know, there's all kinds of awful, ungodly things happening out there. Not only on the beaches, but in the motel rooms and all those kind of things. And I've never done one of them, but I've heard enough and seen enough to know what's going on. No control of their passions. Because they're so full of the world that they don't have any room for Christ. We can probably, some of us, look at our own children and see how they're pursuing life. The things that they really want to get out of life, and it doesn't have anything to do with God. They're so full of the world. I remember praying years ago at a youth roundup. A young man went to the altar and I went down to pray with him. He said, "I want more Christ." I said, "If you want more Christ, empty out your heart and make room for Him." He looked at me and he said, "Wow." He said, "Man, you got a lot of wisdom." I said, "There's no wisdom there. You want more of something, you got to make room for it. He's not going to crowd His way into a crowded heart." And yet our people, our young people, and all kinds of people out there today, they're just so full of the world. Full of entertainment, full of sports, full of all these kind of things. They don't have any room for Christ. Christ comes in a humble heart. A broken and a contrite heart, He said. People out there today don't have a governor on their spirit. They're overriding conviction, and it's getting easier every day to override the conviction that God once was able to send. They've lost their moral sense. They fail to see the danger signs. What is the result of all of this? Promiscuity. Despondent. People out there on the medical field are making billions of dollars a year for pills for people that are have depression, all depressed. Because those things that I just mentioned will not satisfy a longing soul. They won't satisfy. You can seek it all you want, and yet that's where we are today. That's our generation. We've waxed fat, haven't we? We're kicking against the prick, as Paul was. And yet, we still want everything to work out. We want to grab the world by the tail. We want to have everything our own way. And have no control over ourselves. There's only one place, folks, for us to get help. And it's right here in the Word of God. It's found in the Word. If you want to get help, you go to the Word of God to get help. Let's look at another scripture. God talking to His people. Jeremiah, the second chapter. I remember years ago the Lord gave me this text. I don't remember what I said, but He gave it to me again. Jeremiah, the second chapter. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem. Now we know when He says that, He's talking about His church, His people. Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee. I remember the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. In a wilderness land. I remember when you followed me and I led you out of bondage and I provided for all the needs. And I just read it over there in Deuteronomy. Water out of the rock, oil out of the flinty rock. God supplied their food, their drink, and whatever needs they had. I remember you. You were my chosen people. You was my church. Now He's got a prophet here. Prophet Jeremiah, you go tell him. You go tell him. Jeremiah said, I'm just a boy. He said, don't say you're just a boy. I want you to set your face and I'm going to make you an adamant stone against those people. Don't say I'm just a boy. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. Here's the words. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of His increase. All that devour Him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. There was a time when you went after me. You were married to me. That's what He's talking about, espousals. And there was a time when I protected you and I defended you. And when you were my people, your enemies could not do anything to overcome you because I was there to stand in your stead. I was there to care for you. You were holiness unto the Lord. The first fruits of His increase. All that devour Him shall offend. And He said, evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord. O house of Jacob and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord. What iniquity have your fathers found in me? Can you picture yourself? Some of us have adult children that are going and taking the ways of the world. And we raised them, taught them the truth, taught them about the Lord. Doesn't it pull at your heartstrings here? God is pleading with His people through the prophet Jeremiah. What iniquity have you found in me? What have I done wrong? Have you found some kind of problem with me? That they are going far from me and walked after vanity and become vain. Lord, have mercy. Pitiful, pitiful, isn't it? A pitiful time. The children of Israel, or can I say the church, has gone through periods like that. All the way back from the wilderness till now. All the way back from the wilderness till now. And I feel like, well, I know the Lord's showing me that we're in another one of those periods now. He said here, they didn't say, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? That led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, where no man dwelt. And I brought you in a plentiful country. To eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof, but when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage abomination. Folks, what excuse do we have today? God's pricked our hearts. He's called us out of sin. He saved us. He delivered us. And we have no excuse to go back on that. What has He done? What iniquity has He committed? What sin has He committed that we turned our hearts away from God? I'll tell you what happened. The sin is our sins. The sins of fatness. The sins of kicking. Deciding for ourselves that we don't need that anymore. We don't need that anymore. We want to do it a different way. Folks, when we choose to put our own human reasoning to anything that has to do with our souls, we will destroy faith. Do you understand what I said? When we put human reasoning to our lives and try to make our own determinations and try to do it our own way and say, this is the way I feel like it needs to be done, we destroy our faith and we find ourselves stepping back away from God. We find Him stepping away from us when we choose to put ourselves into play in those things. But I think about our poor generation today and how depressed that they are and the things that they go through, the things that they deal with, all because they don't know God. They just don't know God. I don't have room for you. I've got my own ways that I want to take in life. Just don't have room for you, Lord. I want to go on down, so maybe skip a few verses. 13th verse. Well, the 9th verse, let's read that. I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I yet plead. You know the Lord's still pleading today? He hasn't given up yet. As long as there's life, there's hope. And He will plead with His people and mankind. And when He stops pleading, He'll bring this all to an end. It'll all be brought to an end. Hath the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. I'm going to tell you something you already know. Only God alone can bring the life and refreshment to the soul of the man. Only God alone. Necessary to the thirsty soul. Only God can do that. But because you've forsaken me and you put your hopes into bags with holes in it, the broken cisterns where the water just runs out, you're drinking polluted water. People are drinking polluted water today. It's making them sick, isn't it? It's making them sick. Well, I want to tell you, folks, these are desperate times. And I believe God wants us to be aware of that. You sing that song, and I like it very much. My soul be on thy guard. You better be. We better be on guard for our souls. Because the enemy's after us, folks. He'll take us down one at a time, or he'll take us whole any way we can get it. And I tell you, one of the fastest ways that he can bring a body down, through the leadership. Through the leadership. If he can get a leader discouraged, if he can get him to wax fat, he can take a lot of folks with him. The devil knows that. Lord, have mercy on us today. We need to keep our eyes on God. We need to guard our souls, folks, with everything that we have. I'd like to look at another prophet here in Isaiah. Try not to be here too much longer. Isaiah, the 5th chapter, the 11th verse. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. You see, where our generation is? The harp, the vial, the tabret, the pipe, the wine are in their feast. You know, the louder the music is, seems like the better it is. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't even have to have a good beat. It's just a bunch of racket that people want in, these people seem to be enjoying today. The harp, the vial, the tabret, the pipe. We got different instruments today, but it's the same thing. And wine, the drink, is in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. The Lord says, you forget me, I forget you. You read the first chapter of Proverbs. Because I called on you and you refused, you called on me and I refused. Folks, it's a sad time when we call upon God and He refuses to hear. But our world is getting more corrupt and corrupt and corrupt all the time. And God sees it all. Just on Friday, I had all this stuff coming in. This one was sick. This one was hurt. This one fell. This one did that. This one, and I thought, Lord, this is more than I'm able to handle here. But yet, you see that, and you see everything. You see all the terrible things that are going on today. You hear the cries of the wicked. You hear those that have turned their heart away from God. He said, they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. Therefore, my people are going into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Now, you know, I have to think in my little bit of thinking here, that there's probably people saying, that isn't the church today. That isn't where the church is today. The church, which is you and I, is just as high on the hill of Mount Zion as it always was. And it always will be. But I'm talking about the militant, visible church that is in the world today. That's what I'm talking about. They're going into captivity because they have no knowledge. Therefore, verse 14, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Wait a minute. Those that rejoice shall descend into it. That's what he says. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. I think about that man when the wedding feast was given, and the king went around and he saw this man there without a wedding garment. Said, basically putting it in my words, how did this man get in here? He doesn't have on a wedding garment. And it said the man was speechless. There won't be no arguing with God, folks. We've had our chance. This is our chance. This is our day. This is our time. The fact of it is, the wedding garment was provided, wasn't it? Our children, our loved ones, our neighbors. I want to tell you this afternoon, a wedding garment has been provided. But they haven't put it on. They're not wearing it. The mean man shall be brought down. The mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment. And God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. I've never seen it so bad as in the day that we're living in right now. that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Folks, I want to tell you something. Now, there's a lot of things I could say about that verse of Scripture. But I want to tell you something. When a group of men and women sit down and make judgment that it is legal and right for a man and a woman to be married, and we accept that as marriage today, I'm going to say, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. God pronounced a woe, didn't He? It's only temporary, saints. Life is temporary. Everything here is temporary. The judgment's surely coming. Where will we be at the judgment? Where will we be? Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes, prudent in their own sight. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. You know, I'm not going to get political on you, but I just want to point out what a shame. What a shame that this country has come to a place. And I'll go on record as saying this. I don't care who knows it or who hears it. That we have a choice of choosing someone for president that ought to be in prison. Or we can choose another person to be president that goes around making fun of people, calling people names, and saying filthy things, spewing out of their mouth, been married 3 times. That's our choice. What happened to America, folks? What happened? God turned her over, didn't He? They've been turned over. That's why Brother Larry keeps saying, like Paul, get rooted, grounded, get settled. Been turned over. We live here. We still say, oh, this is still the greatest country in the world. And it probably is. We still have a few freedoms left. Not many. But what does it come down to when that's our choices? For the number one leadership in our country, what's it come down to, folks? I'm not going to tell anybody how to vote and who to vote for and any of that stuff. But all I'm saying is what's happened to us. What's happened to us? Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Folks, I want to tell you, don't you think for a minute that God doesn't see this whole thing. Men want to be kingmakers. Men want to be kings. Folks, there's only one kingmaker. God sets him up and He takes him down. And He's the one that we look to this afternoon to be our helper. We need to listen to God today. He spells out exactly in His Word where He is with man's iniquity. How He responds as He looks down every day and sees what's going on. Murders, rapes, killings, all the different awful things that are going on. Now I say this for your encouragement. The devil knows that as long as you and I are dependent on God, that we cannot be ruined or brought down. Devil knows that. As long as we are dependent on God, not ourselves, not in our own wisdom and our own understanding, He can only seduce us through what we desire for what we see. That's the only way He can seduce us. The devil is always trying to seduce us through our desire of what we see and what we want. Remember this, folks. The world is all He has to offer you. It's all He has. He doesn't have anything else to offer you. And what's the world going to do? It's going to pass away, isn't it? It's going to pass away. 8th chapter of this same book, Isaiah, my last scripture. 8th chapter, Isaiah, 13th verse. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. I'm not in the right chapter. I'm sorry. 8th chapter, 13th verse. Sanctify. I take courage in this, folks. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. And let him be your dread. 9th chapter of Daniel. When he was praying for his people in bondage. Over there in Babylon. Oh, great and dreadful God. Folks, there's a lot of people that are going to dread to see the judgment. But it ain't going to change nothing. Oh, great God of love, great God of mercy, and great God of wrath. To you, he said, belongeth righteousness. But to us, confusion of face. Folks, our world is confused today. Lost their moral compass. They've lost their way. You and I have a duty and a responsibility to hold this thing and hold it right. Hold it right. Don't try to introduce something new in your walk with the Lord. Don't try to introduce something new in your experience. My prayer for God's people, for us, is that Lord will answer your prayers. I want the Lord to answer your prayers. I need your prayers. But don't try to introduce anything of your mind into this relationship that you have with God. Keep it clear. Keep it pure. Keep it holy. We need God, don't we? Wow, do we need the Lord. We need Him so desperately. Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself. Let Him be your fear. And let Him be your dread. The writer said, this is the whole duty of man. You know the rest. Fear God and keep His commandments. May the Lord bless us this afternoon. May the Lord bless the church. May the Lord have mercy upon our world and upon our country. The Bible says for you and I to pray for them that have the rule over us, saints. We need to be praying. You say, well, we got a lot of sick and afflicted. Yeah, we do. Well, you may have to stay on your knees just a little bit longer. We need to pray for one another, and we need to pray for those that desire to have the rule over us. They're ungodly people, folks. They're ungodly people. Man stands up and he wants to try to be godly. And he wants to quote a verse out of 2 Corinthians. And he says he's a Christian. But he says a lot of things that people like, doesn't he? He's really popular. He's swaying the minds and the hearts of people. But where's the morals? Can you trust someone like that? I can't. But then again, I don't know that I can trust any of them. But I can trust the living God. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Let Him Let God be your fear. Let God be your dread. Put your trust in Him. Hold on to Him, folks. We're in perilous times. There's no doubt about it. There's no question there in our minds. We're in perilous times. Let us be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. We pray for me. Thank you. Amen.